Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, just finished up some more Christmas shopping. I think I've got one more gift to buy, and I'm ready for the holiday.
And let me guess, that gift is for me, right? You bought me a fucking case of maple bars, and you're going to send them for first day air tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. He bought you a speaking spiel.
Is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah, that's why I said
funny.
It. That's why Craig laughed.
I'm not. I don't think it was funny. And in fact, I'm highly offended about that comment.
That's the point.
Let me introduce our other co-host, Contreras, who jumped the gun and started talking before I introduced him. What's going on, Contreras? I hear you're a little under the weather.
Yeah, I've been in the bed all day. I'm getting the flu or something.
It's going around.
Take about four or five zinc tablets and drink it with some orange juice, and you'll be all right.
I don't have any orange juice.
There you go. Just take the zinc.
Don't have any of that, neither.
We need to get some of that, because I'm going to tell everybody right now, if you feel like it's going to start to get a fever or a cold, like you feel it in your throat or whatever, start taking zinc, and it'll cut it off. I mean, I've only, in the past 6-7 years, I've only gotten sick maybe twice.
Now, or is it that you didn't get sick, or were you just too stoned to realize that you were sick?
No, I didn't get sick. It'll help cut it off. I'm telling you. I mean, if you take it too late, you'll take it too late. But if you take it like right when you feel it, it'll work. Trust me.
Our health guru, Ed Laredo.
But Craig, you said you were shopping. I saw you posted that you were at a Walmart. What were you doing in Heck Heaven?
Oh gosh, why does my wife send me to the Walmart, Shay? No, I just had to get some, you know, stuff to put in the stockings and things like that. We got two extras here for the holiday. My daughter came home and brought her bow with her. So it's been doubled up on everything, double up on the meals, double up on the gifts, you know. So we didn't even have any aid yet.
I'm very surprised you're letting a boyfriend stay there.
Oh, he's fine. He's
fine.
He stays in his own room and she stays in another one. So
wake up in the middle of the night and see what's going on.
Already have, my friend. Already have.
Oh,
is there already trying to kick his ass, Craig?
I don't need to threaten him. All I have to do is, you know, look at him. Come on.
Yeah, I guess I would be scared if I saw like a guy the size of Godzilla looking at me.
Yeah. He's a nice young man and he's very respectable, so I ain't worried about it. So yeah.
That's good.
So yeah, everything got doubled up for the holiday. So I had to go where the dollar gets stretched the longest, to the Walmart. So that's enough.
What time did you tell our guest we were gonna call, Craig?
I told her about six after, ten after, you know, whatever.
Okay. Just wanna make sure so I can start looking for the number here.
You should do that.
Cool.
I just figured Katrina would have been. I was going to say, I just figured Katrina would have, joined us about, 45 minutes into the show, but that's cool.
I just called in to talk to Craig while Ed makes the phone call so he don't feel left out. Don't know what to do. And I'm going to take a nap.
Ryan, no kidding. I'm glad you did that because that would have been like one of the biggest disasters ever in the history of the show.
Oh, it's happened a few times, let's be honest.
Well, I'm going to start trying to call. Okay, so I'll be gone for a few minutes here.
Yep.
Okay.
So how has your WWE week been?
It's been fine, actually. Pretty good, wrestling-wise. I thought the pay-per-view Sunday was pretty awesome.
Very good. Very good pay-per-view.
So Raw was pretty good, too.
Didn't have a problem with Raw. Of course, I think Ric Flair might have saved the show. Just saying. I haven't watched SmackDown yet, but did catch most of Tribute to the Troops, and really like them putting Claudio in the main event. I thought it was good.
And what's tonight? Is it like the game plan with CM Punk or something?
That sounds right. It might also be like I think Big Show's on Burn Notice or something silly like that. I don't 100% know, but yeah, there's a lot of TV on this week.
Yeah.
And I wasn't real fond of Impact last night. I think it was fine, but
I didn't watch it since it was taped. I just read the spoilers and
yeah.
So I just didn't even bother watching it. Yeah, the game plan's on right now, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Craig, could you introduce our guest, please?
I'd be happy to, Ed. Our guest tonight has been working up here in the Northwest for the last few years. Within the last year, she's made her way into the Shimmer promotion. She's also trained with our friend Lance Storm and was featured on season 1 and 2 of World of Hurt. With that in mind, a recent altercation has led to her Facebook wall reading like a script from As the World Turns. Please welcome to the show, Casey Spinelli.
Hello! As the World Turns, I like it.
I was going to say Guiding Light, but that was giving it far too much credit.
Yeah, well, I think As the World Turns, wasn't that one of like the soap operas when I was little, I'm pretty sure, right? And then
yes,
they have that, yeah, that's it.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm actually really tired, I'm not going to lie. I've been up since 7 this morning doing my one job, and then I've come home now to clean my house, do some laundry, and then go babysit some drunks later as I'm a bouncer at a bar. So I'll be up pretty late tonight. Fridays are a bad day for me. If I'm not wrestling, I'm living a pretty poopy life.
So you're a bouncer? How often do you have to get physical with the customers?
I would say every Friday and Saturday that I work. It's, you know what, I handle more guys than I do girls, to tell you the truth. I don't know what it is, you know, liquid courage doesn't mix well with the human race, let me tell you.
I'm just going to say this. I mean, if a beautiful woman tried to put me in an arm lock, I probably would go willingly.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? That's how it all starts. At the beginning of the night, I get a lot of, like, oh, my God, you're the prettiest girl I've ever seen. I've never seen a bouncer, you know, as pretty as you. And I'm just like, okay. And everybody wants to kiss your hand, like, you know how they do to, like, royalty.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying that, and you're like, okay, look, like, I don't like to be touched. Don't touch me. It's so bad saying that, but it's like, I want to be in my own bubble. Leave me alone. And then at the end of the night, it's just like a whole 180, and they're like, who are you? Who are you? You can't tell me what to do. And I was like, actually, I can. That's what they pay me the big bucks for. So, yeah, no. It just gets pretty annoying because, like, a lot of the guys, too, I don't know what it is with boys these days, but I don't think moms are doing a good job on raising their sons, because everybody wants to, like, shake. You know how, like, people go up and you're like, yeah, my boy, and you, like, give the whole big high five, grab the hand, pull in, and, like, chest to chest? Like, everybody wants to do that with me. Like, no, you can put out your hand like a human being, and you can offer me to shake it, but I can't guarantee you I'm going to, so... I don't know. The world's crazy.
Yeah. Now, the best place to see crazy people is at a bar. So, I mean, you'll never run out.
I would definitely say bar and wrestling. that's where I've met the most ridiculous people, I'd say.
Now, Casey, how did you actually get started into the wrestling business?
Well, let's see here. I've always dreamed about, I don't want to say being a diva on TV, because when I was younger, I didn't say diva or even think of the word diva. I always said I wanted to be a wrestler on TV. I've said it before, I say it again. I was sitting at my cousin's house. We always went every weekend, because I'm actually from, breaking kayfabe, I'm actually from Guelph, Ontario. And when we were in Guelph, all my family's out in Toronto or Brampton, Mississauga, Woodbridge. And we'd always go to Brampton every weekend, and all my guy cousins and my uncle would watch wrestling. So I'd sit there and watch it with them. And you know, I just got taken in by all of it. It's not, you know, it's not being on TV. I mean, that's a bonus of it, but it's not being on TV. It's really, truly just like being able to entertain people. It's being out in front of them and like telling them a story. And like, I explain wrestling, again, breaking kayfabe, my bad. I explain wrestling as this. It's like, it's, you know, you get a time limit to create a movie and a story to tell people. And depending on how good of a storyteller you are, you can either draw them in or you will not. And, you know, it's something I always wanted to do. And growing up, you know, I did karate, judo. I was doing amateur wrestling in high school. And I told my coach, like, I'm training to be a wrestler. And he laughed. And he was like, you know, you'll never go anywhere or do anything with it. You know, why don't you just stay in amateur wrestling? And I said, no, it's not what I want. I was actually a hairdresser in high school. And then I went to Honduras to help build down there. And it wasn't after coming back that I really found that I liked being a carpenter. So I went to school for carpentry. I finished that and I moved over here to BC. And when I was trying to get my level one apprenticeship going in Victoria, I found out about ECCW wrestling. So I met a few of the guys in the locker room, one of which was Scotty Mack. And he actually told me that there was a spot opening up at one of the houses, like one of the wrestler houses that they have here. Which is exactly how it sounds. It's a wrestling house. I think a week, I put money down as my spot for my room. And within a month, I had all my stuff moved over, and I started training here at ECCW, and I guess you can say I haven't stopped yet.
Now, how is Michelle Starr lately? I haven't heard of that man in many a moon.
Starr's good. I haven't actually seen him now. Probably for like 6 months, I'd say. I saw him over the summer, so I wasn't really around here. And I don't think, this is going to sound bad, but I don't think I've worked for him since coming back. So I have not seen him, but he's good as far as I know. He's good.
Okay, cool. I was working here in the Northwest, and I worked for Tim Flowers, and I wasn't allowed to speak to Mr. Starr, but I've always respected the man.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I worked for Tim during the summertime. We did the Agra Fair. That's it. It's the Agra Fair. It happens every year in Abbotsford. And
okay.
Like this year, we had Beefcake there this year. Usually we have somebody, I think last year it was Val. So usually somebody always comes in, and then we have a show, and it's just over the course of it's like 4 days, and it happens on a weekend. And it's wrestling.
Very cool. Now, one of your road partners is Nicole Matthews. And,
she
is one half of the Shimmer Tag Team Champions right now. give us a rundown on Nicole.
Oh my goodness. I honestly can't say, I can't say anything bad about Nicole to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can, I can't preach to you how big my heart grows when I think of Nicole Matthews. I know it sounds, you know, kind of dumb, but I think wonders of the girl. I think she's a hardcore athlete. She trained, she's very athletic. She takes this serious. Like, look at her, look how far she's come. And it was only her and Veronica down here when they first started, Veronica Weiss and Nicole Matthews, you know what I mean? And honestly, we lost Veronica Weiss, and I'm really sad about that. But Nicole stuck around, and she's, I would have to say, in my personal opinion, she is the top wrestler here in the Pacific North. Nobody's done as much as her, and nobody's gone as much as her. So, yeah, sorry, guys. I know there's a lot of you over here, but suck it.
Yeah, Casey, the first time that I had ever heard of you was when you worked for Tallulah. And could you talk about working for Tallulah? And I guess that would have been like the first time you met Lila Lodge.
Okay. So I know what this is going to build up into. Do you want me to go right from this to like kind of everything? I'm going to tell you a story. Cut me off whenever you feel that you want to ask a question. But let me just get this out there, because
I love it.
In wrestling, yeah, I know, right? I know. I already said in wrestling, like the bars, like you meet good people and you meet crazy people, and we do a lot in wrestling. I know everybody likes to say wrestling is fake, and if you ask a wrestler, they will show you every wound and scar they have on them, missing tooth, it's unfortunate that some people have to meet some people in this business. And I am not saying that it was unfortunate that I met Lila Lodge, because hear me out. When I started here, it's not to say that they didn't need me, and it's not to say that they didn't think, well, actually, let's bring up the documentary I was in, and it was This Wrestling Life. I got shit on a lot, straight up. I got shit on a lot. Nobody liked me. Everybody made fun of me. And the number one thing that was said about me was, I will not be here the following week. I will not be here a year from now. I will do nothing in wrestling, and I will go home with my tail between my legs. It's 3 years later now, and I am climbing the ladder that Nicole Matthews has built for this Pacific Northwest. Do you know what I mean? So I had to start somewhere, and unfortunately, I didn't get to start right away with ECCW. It was hard to get them to see how much I wanted to be in that ring and on their shows. So I sought out TCW. I don't really even like to say their names anymore, and it's not nothing to do with the company. It's just like, you know, our time was good, and if our time's done, our time's done. Don't use my name. I won't use your name. And I just feel that it's better to say it like that because, like, don't try to get publicity off me, and I won't bury you when I'm doing publicity. But anyways, yeah, so I went down there, you know, I talked with Caden Matthews, I met Lila Lodge, I met Sunny Days, I met Jamaica, like there's a few of the girls, and I say this right now because I don't want people thinking I'm racist, there is a girl named Jamaica down there, and she is black, and it's her real name, and I say that again too because I called her Jamaica down there one time when I probably should have called her her wrestling name, and I think people thought I was a racist. So anyways, I met the girls down there, and Lila was down there, and she said, you know, it would be awesome if they could have another girl down there. Myself and Enid Urquhart, which is another girl down here who trains, we went down there, and we had a match. Now, Enid only made it down there that one time, so the next time I went down, I got to wrestle Lila. Now, since I've probably had as many matches with Lila Lodge as I have with Nicole Matthews, I can say that I've learned more from Nicole Matthews than I have Lila Lodge. However, when I'm in the ring with somebody like Lila, I have to make sure my sensors are up because, again, to be at the level Nicole Matthews is on, you need to feel... You need to have self-confidence in everything that you do. And I think, like myself, you know, Lila Lodge doesn't have that. I'm always second-guessing myself, and I don't know why because I'm pretty freaking awesome. I don't know if she can say that either. But but anyway, so I don't have anything against her. I really do think she's a really nice girl. I think she's been taken advantage of, and I think people shit on her. And I think it's a little bit of her, you know, filling the bag of sand to make them do it, if that's, you know, even making sense. But yeah, so like I had nothing against Lila. The thing I have a problem with is when you try to get people to, like, believe your own shit. Like, you know, if you want to lie, say you have to lie to, like, your mom, you know how you practice, you go home and you practice and you're like, you know, I didn't kick the cat. I didn't kick the cat. I didn't kick the cat. And then your mom asks you and you're like, I didn't kick the cat. I didn't kick the cat. You say it enough times, you're going to start to believe it and you're going to try to make everybody else believe it. But you can't change my mind about something I know that happened. So leading in, we're going to bypass the TCW with Lila Lodge, because my answer to that is I literally have wrestled in a few companies down in Washington that in all honesty, I'm not one to say a company shouldn't be running. I can say I don't want to work for a company because I don't feel that I want to be involved with them, which is fine. It's my own decision.
Does this include Mike Jones? Does this include anything to do with Mike Jones? I'm just asking. So personal.
You know, you know, off the air, as I do air quotes, okay, off the air, I have no personal beef with anybody, but I think maybe him and other people who run, like, places like SCW, and again, I get that there's people in cities that want to wrestle. However, every time you turn on Raw and you turn on SmackDown, what is the first thing you see coming back from commercials? Like, don't try this at home. These are trained individuals. Like, get out there and get trained. If you're going to wrestle in somebody, again, I'm not bashing Backyard. I'm so passionate about this. Can't you hear it? I'm not bashing backyarders. I appreciate the fact that they're, you know, in their backyards having fun trying to teach themselves these moves. If you get paralyzed doing it, do I feel bad for you? No, because you're not going out there and getting professionally trained. And that's like any backyarder being like, you know, I want to go from the backyard to being in the ring. I have no problem with them coming and training. You know what I mean? Because they're trying to get better. And everybody wants to shit on these people. So you know what? Let Mike Jones run a company. Let Buddha or whatever his freaking name is. Let them run companies, but, like, be smart about it. If you see these guys are running companies so they can dictate what they get to do in front of people and it's all about them, why do you want to work for somebody like that? Why? Because they're just going to bring that company down, and you know what? You're going to sink with them, and nobody's going to want to hire you after that, and nobody's wanting to see you. Who's wanting to see you? Like, after that match that I had with Lila at SCW, I got fired from that. A lot of people don't know that. I got told I was fired from SCW when we had the Ow My Eye match. Because I yelled out a profanity after the gong show happened. Can you believe it? See, and I'm thankful. I'm freaking thankful.
Is that the promotion that's run on the Indian Reservation up by the Hood Canal up here? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Well, I'm not sure where they run because, again,
SCW?
I'm from Canada and not from SCW, yeah.
Okay.
They, and I'll tell you what, like a lot of the Washington ones, they do run on the Indian Reserves because they don't need insurance. You know,
right.
And that's fine. People want to wrestle and they need to wrestle somewhere. But you know what? Like myself, I mean, I started with a great company. Was I aware that ECCW was top notch when I came here? Yes. And that's exactly why I came to them. But I did drive myself 2.5 hours away so I can get in these little matches to see how I would do, to see how I'm progressing, to see if I really want this, to see if I can really take it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I went out to California. I just came back from there a few months ago. And, like, I went out there, and I got to stay with Davina Rose. Here, let me talk about something nice right now. Davina Rose, oh.
Yeah.
God, I love Davina Rose. But,
anyways.
Yes, yeah, we'll talk about her. Don't worry. Don't worry. But, yeah. So, you know, I got to go stay with her, and I got to train with her company, and I got to wrestle in her company, and I got to wrestle with another company. So her company is called Big Time Wrestling, and the other one was Vendetta Pro. And, like, it's such an honor for these companies to be like, yeah, we'd love to have you work in our company. But also, I'm not waiting around. I'm not going to wait for people to be like, hey, like, do you think you want to come here? No, I'm going to tell people I want to come here, and I'll come. You just give me the nod, because I want people to know me. I want people to see Casey freaking Spinelli. You know, my name is going to be a household name if it ain't already. Trust me. I'm special. But yeah, I think some people are in this for the wrong reasons. And this is kind of going back to the whole Lila thing. It's like, you know, I think she's a great girl. I have nothing against her. I just think, for the better of her, like, she's not cut out for wrestling. You know, give her modeling. Give her acting. I think she can hit big time with that. But, you know, I think wrestling is too hard on her. And it's not to say she's not a strong girl. I just think it's not her knack. And I see this because I think she's tried to tell herself different. Which is fine, you know, when we all make big mistakes, we always try to, you know, forget it or change it. But the bottom line is like, that shit was filmed. And no matter what you try to tell people, like, I know what happened. And honestly, at the end of the day, she knows what happened. And the reason I posted that shit on Facebook is not because I'm a child, Lila Lodge. It's because people have to know what you're saying. Like, you said something completely different under the comment of the flea market video than you did in the message. Like, get your story straight. If you're not going to get it straight, I'm going to call you out on your bullshit. Because with me, you know, it's like, I just want you to be straight up. I'm straight up girl. I'm 110% with everybody. If you want to give me less, trust me, you ain't going to get any less from me. You're just going to get nothing from me because I don't want to handle that. Which brings us to World of Hurt. Funny enough, look, I'll just carry on. I don't even need you guys. You guys can just listen to me talk.
No, you keep going.
World of Hurt. Yeah. World of Hurt. First year with Landstorm, it was really awesome. Let me say, I have not gotten the chance before that time to get out to Storm School and train with him or learn from him. I got to meet him once before going out there, and I got to go out there. And at the end of the day, it's really funny because I didn't know what wrestling was about before I got in it. And now that I'm in wrestling, I see that life is exactly like wrestling and everything's like wrestling. I was on Wipeout Canada, and I only say that not to be like, I was on Wipeout Canada. Yeah, I was on Wipeout Canada. but when I was on Wipeout, I realized that TV is fake. Like, people want to call wrestling fake. TV is fake. Everything you're fed every day on the news, in a magazine, on TV, on the radio, everything is fake. Everything is you know, tried and marketed to you and sold to you so you'll buy it. Nothing's true or real out there. That's the funny thing about people and believing every little hype they get about everything. But anyways, so I kind of realized that, like, TV is fake. And I didn't really think about it. When I went to go do the show with Storm, when I went with him, it was more like, sweet, I'm going to get trained by Storm for a few weeks, and it's free, you know? And it just so happens we're getting to film this TV thing. And it was great. I met a lot of the guys from, you know, different parts of the world. I met Frenchie from France, and now he's down at FCW, just like Tennille. And they're great. You know what I mean? It was amazing hanging out with these people. Carlo Cannon from Australia, like, you know, it's awesome that I got to partake in that side of things, but it kind of sucks because, again, you don't know what really happened down there. And for instance,
yeah,
I'll say it like this.
I was actually going to ask you, like, on your episode that, well, I don't know if it was, I saw the most of the episodes, but there was one where you had a big, like, blow up, and I was going to ask you, like, how did they, well, like, what really happened? Was there a big blow up? Was it just edited like that, or?
I must just seem like a huge bitch to people because first, you know, there's all that shit on Facebook with Lila, and now if you've ever seen one of my episodes of World of Hurt, you're just going to think I'm some crazy broad. So again, with season one, I was more down there to wrestle. There was another female wrestler down there that just, you know, it's sort of the case like Lila, like she just sort of didn't get along. It's like you can't help but rub people the wrong way. But when people try to tell you kind of like why you're rubbing them the wrong way and you choose to not do anything about it. Did you watch Survivor? Were you up in this year's Survivor? There was that Brazilian
Abby.
Chick.
Abby,
yeah. And,
oh,
like, they
God.
Were all just, like, hating on her and stuff. But then Abby said at the end of it, like, whoa, did you watch me? Like, I can't believe me. So there's some people that it's, like, they're just, like, no, that's not me at all. You're wrong. And then there's some people, like, whoa, okay, that is me, and I'm going to work on me. So where did I leave off? So, the fights that I had with the guys, like, when I went to go throw a fist at Frenchie, like, me and Frenchie stayed at the same house together. You know, we're going, and not to be like, we're staying in the same, but like, we're staying at the Storm house. So not, we were at the wrestling house. And, you know, we had been there with us. So it's not, you know, we go home all together. It's, you know, I don't know how much, am I allowed to break kayfabe? Am I going to get hated
Absolutely.
By everybody? Should I stop saying even the word kayfabe?
No, please.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, So I mean, like, we were friends, and I know what Chris, you know, Chris Knight, he, you know, he was the big dog, and he had to put everybody down. It was like last year with, what's that small kid's name? That Malibu Barbie. I'll call him Malibu Barbie. him, like, you know what I mean? It's easy to pick on people because it's that easy. But, like, with Lila, like, Taya and Malibu Barbie kept being like, oh, you're fat. It's like, okay, pick on her because she can't pick up, you know, Irina. Pick on her because the girl does a DDT when she's trying to do her own front bump during practice. You know, like, I mean, pick on her for something that's real. You don't pick on her because she's overweight. Who cares? She's always been a big girl. But, okay, so going back to Lila, let me put Lila over for a minute. This is how much I do respect Lila. Lila was a hardcore swimmer and, like, one of those ones who'd, like, do stuff off the diving board. One day after World of Hurt 2, we all went to the pool, and this girl's doing moonsaults and backflips. You name it, this girl's doing, like, two backward flips before landing in the water. And, like, dude, she was blowing people out of the water there. There was these kids swimming. They're like, oh, my God, you're great. So, like, yeah, I mean, see what I mean? Like, Lila could be a great swimmer. She just,
wow.
I don't know. See what I mean? So, like, again, I don't hate the girl, and I don't really hate anybody, and that was that thing with Irina. It's not that I hate Irina, but, like, I tried to get along with Irina. Everything was being built up for a while, and it just so happened that I I snapped. I wasn't very professional, and I'll take accountability for that. And that's the difference, again, between somebody like me and Lila. I will tell you, the first year when I snapped on Irina, that was me being Italian and losing my cool and saying a bad word on TV. That my mom still hasn't seen the episode because I can't let her see it because she will absolutely kill me. So there's that. But like the second year with Lila, however, for the most part, it was planned. We knew what they wanted. The first year when we went, we were lucky enough to have Storm, somebody who was like, most of those people, 99% of the people that were there were all Storm students. So we were lucky enough that Storm was looking out for us and taking care of us and saying like, no, I don't want this on TV, or I want this on TV and I want this to be shown, or I don't want this to be shown. He was really good about that. With Piper, on the other hand, I don't think Piper necessarily cared too much about what was being shown. And since Piper, not to say that Storm doesn't have a good idea of, you know, what should be on TV, but I think Storm has a better idea of what his name wants to be, like what kind of product his name wants to be on. I think with Piper, and I'm not really sure, but like, I don't think he sat around the editing room like Storm did and like made sure. I think it was left up to the producers and the writer. Well, there's no writers, but the producers and directors of World of Hurt to show you what happened on season two. My problem with that is, you know, you have people like Randy, Ravenous Randy. Could you possibly imagine what that guy would do? And he gives you when you have a camera in his face. And you know what? They used nothing good on Randy. Let me tell you, nothing. Uh-uh. It was not good at all. And who else? I feel bad going, who else is really good? But like, yeah, there were so many good characters that you could have told such a better story. Like Bish. Bish, we really wanted, you know, Bish to come through with this idea we all had for him, and they totally played it the opposite way, and we're just like, dude, they kept telling us, like, act natural, and we're like, we're not natural, we're wrestlers, and the whole thing with my episode where they're like, Casey Spinelli is hogging camera time, like, every one of those shots they showed were when we were told that we were breaking, and the camera was in my face, and I was like, look, like, you know, I forget her name. I want to say Sasha, but it wasn't Sasha. I feel bad now. I forget her name. But, like, she would come up, and I'd be like, oh, look, she's videotaping us. Like, let's do stuff. And we would do stuff. So it's, you know, it's all put on TV to market for you. Obviously, people's like Lila's episode, my episode, we are more for, like, drama because that's what we can give. I'm not a quiet girl. I'm not a quiet kid. I speak my mind, and it's probably bad most of the time, but I'm sorry if I'm blunt, and you can like it or you can leave it, but that's it.
On the first season, basically every episode ended with Lance Storm taking whoever the show was about and giving them a talk, and basically the way they edited it is they basically edited the same line basically over and over again in every show. And I was actually curious, what did Lance actually tell you in when you had the final meeting with Lance?
Well, dude, straight up told me I can make it too as long as I wash my mouth. So for the most part, like, most of them are true. Like, I don't know what he said to everybody. But I think for the most part, again, these are his students. And who would you tell is not going to make it? In my mind, like, I think somebody like Carlo Cannon, I think he should make it. You know, Benjamin English, he's great. He's ripping up the UK and stuff. I think he should make it. Frenchie's just absolutely hands down amazing. Like, I don't know why that guy wasn't signed years before, but I'm thankful because I got to spend that time with him and get to know him. And now I can put him over to you guys in the world. So world, look out for Frenchie. The guy is awesome. Les Deux. For anybody who watched or anybody who's listening that was on the show, Les Deux. But anyway, so I don't know. My guess is that to everybody but Irina, he would have, not that I'm bashing, but everybody to Irina, he would have said, you know, like, you got big things to come. Look, Tennille Dashwood signed. Sorry, Tennille Taylor signed. Or Emma, whatever you want to call her now, signed. Frenchie signed. Benjamin English ripping up the UK. Carlo Cannon ripping up the Australian scene. Taya Valkyrie ripping up Mexico. Chris Knight is, I think he's still ripping up Calgary, but I do know that he had a baby, so that was really good. So he might have took some time off. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, if there's anybody else I missed, I apologize. But,
We had a while back, or right after the first season, we had T-Bone on the show. And I wanted to ask you, what were you thinking when T-Bone was getting molested in the ring on that?
Oh, I can't believe I forgot about T-Bone. I'm really sorry. T-Bone's awesome. I think T-Bone and Derek are a heck of gay for each other. Can I say that with, again, not having any prejudice towards anybody? I think T-Bone enjoyed the shit out of it. He was just trying to to deny it. I think he enjoyed the shit out of it. Are you kidding me? Come on. It's Derek Cross. Come on. They loved it. Everybody loved it. They were all, should I say it? I think we have a picture of, like, them all, like, front to back. You know what I mean? Like, they're cuddle buddies. They all love each other.
Working the train.
They're a tight-knit group. They all know each other. You know what I mean? Like, they've all gone to training with each other. And Carlo Cannon's been coming around, I think, for, like, close to 10 years now he's been coming here. So yeah. I mean, can I say that? They're all buddies. They're all buddies. I don't care, yeah.
Craig, go ahead, Craig.
Oh, goodness. Let's get back to your friend from California, Davina Rose.
Yes, Davina Rose.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yes,
another Shimmer
girl. I'm so proud. Yes. Davina Rose, she comes from California, from Big Time Wrestling. And actually, if you pay attention to her Twitter, I don't know if she's got Facebook, but if you pay attention to her Twitter, you'll see that, like, when she was, like, 13 or something, like, she has a picture with cheerleader Melissa. This girl has just been all about wrestling since day one. I couldn't be happier for anybody, actually. You know, it's determination and willpower and the fact of knowing that, like, this is what you want. And I must say, out of everybody in wrestling, I don't know too many people whose parents fully support them. Like, even my own mom. My mom for years told me, you know, get a real dream, get a real job. You know, I think that just kind of what follows after kids, especially say, like, you know, when I was younger, I pointed at the TV and I said, you know, this is what I want to be. And I was just told, no, you know, slap of the fingers, no. You're not. And I don't think Davina Rose's family was like that at all. I think they were, I mean, I got to be there when she told them all, and not one of them, you know, didn't cry. Like, her dad cried, and, like, you know, most dads would be like, my little girl isn't going to do this, and he's just as excited as she is. So, it's great. It really is great. I can't wait till the world gets to see her. I know how good she is. Most of you, if you haven't seen her Shimmer stuff, go and look it up right now, or buy the DVDs. Don't look it up. Buy the DVDs. Putting over Shimmer. Buy the DVDs. But it's, you know what I mean? This girl has trained hard, and for her to be going down there and now having Sarah Del Rey, I hope she doesn't get mad, but Davina Rose is gay for Del Rey. So it's going to be awesome with her going down there and getting, you know, trained by her now. So I'm super psyched. I think I'm more super psyched than she is for her actual self. Cause I've been very excited for her. I couldn't wish it to anybody better, really, honestly. And it's not to say that I don't wish anybody else. I mean, I wish, honestly, all the girls who took this seriously and really drove to get it and want it, you know, do get the shot one day. But I don't have faith in TV anymore. After I've learned how fake it is, I feel that it will continue making wrong choices forever, and we will see we see people whose first thought wasn't to be a wrestler, which I don't really want to get into too much because I don't want to bury myself. But I do feel it's a shame that you have people who try nothing more and try their most and the hardest to get up to and have a spot like that and get nothing but cut down and kept below where people can't get to see them and their talent. So I think they have I think they've got good people down at FCW, and I think it's about time that they make another show too. Like, have you know, have all the shows you have now, but make an extra show that people are seeing. I mean, I know that they have the FCW shows, but there are some people down there that you're still not seeing on those shows. And anybody down there that's listening, you start putting those people on those shows because they deserve it.
Now, you mentioned Shimmer, and Prazak, he's a good friend of the show. And he actually was nice enough to send us the download for a couple of your matches from Shimmer, which I was actually watching at the beginning of the show. And could you talk about I believe one of the matches was Calamity, and the other one was Susie Skater?
Yeah, I had one with my first taping there. I had it with Skater and Calamity, and then Nikki, the New York Knockout Nikki, or Nikki, I'm not sure. No. NY Nikki, that's what I'm going to call her. NY Nikki. So, sorry, what was your question? No, I missed it.
How did you feel that the matches went with them?
Sorry, how did I?
How do you feel about the matches? How do you feel they went?
Oh, well, I mean, shoot, I was going to say frig, shoot. To have the honor of working Skater, like, my first time. I mean, I don't know if, see, I'm half on half. Like, I'm so thankful. Don't even get me wrong. I'm so thankful I had that match. It is an honor to be in that ring with one of the best Skater again in Japan right now, doing what she does best. Again, another magnificent wrestler. I can't say enough about this girl. Again, trains hard, is just a machine for this, a machine. And it was quite an honor to get in the ring with her. At the same time, like, do you seriously want me to pee my pants? Like, you know, it's a huge deal. It's Shimmer. And now you want me to go out there with Skater? Like, God. But I love the match with Skater. I'm so fond of it. Hey, Dave, I don't have that DVD if you want to send it my way, please. I loved the match. I didn't really get upset, but I was kind of upset in the Calamity match, and only for the fact that I fell. So what can you do? But I think right off the bat, I think they were, I think he was really nice to give me the honor to show what I have, especially at Shimmer. I was on Sparkle the first year, so it was really awesome to be brought back and put on the main card and get onto Shimmer. And to be able to say I have that under my belt, and not only that, but to add that my first match was against Kelly Skater, and then going up against Calamity, who, you know, is a champion down in Montreal. So it's, thanks, Dave. Thanks, everybody at Shimmer. It was quite an honor, and I'm giddy over it. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I can't help it. Yeah, I thought they were really good. I mean, at the same time, do I think I can be better? Yes, and it's not to say anything about the talent I wrestled. It's just about me. I think again. I'm not going to say it's because I was hella nervous, but I was hella nervous. It's, you know, it's almost like I would probably even say it would feel like saying like WWE. These people that come to the show, I mean, they come from all over. There's people that come from Germany. Are you aware that there's people that come from Germany to see this? A weekend of ladies wrestling and people, and you know, I'm not talking about like weird people, but, like, people who like girls wrestling. We have a woman who comes from Canada. You know what she brought us last year? A whole suitcase full of Timbits in Tupperware containers and coffee. Like, how nice. These people love us, and they love our talent, and they you know, they're entertained by us. Like, damn. And I get to be a part of that. Are you kidding me? Thanks. I love Shimmer.
Now you've been wrestling for like about 3 years, still kind of new to the business compared to some of the other veterans in Shimmer, like Cheerleader Melissa, Cerro Del Rey. What was it like being in the dressing room with like women that are like basically, you know, that forged the way for women's wrestling, what women's wrestling is today on the independent scene?
Oh my God, it's an honor. The first time I was there for Sparkle, and just to like sit there and put on my gear and look at like Hamada and you have Cheerleader Melissa. I got to even wrestle Cheerleader Melissa this year in July, in Montreal, for Femme Fatale, and like it, like I had to keep telling her, you know, like, you're cheerleader, Melissa. I probably creeped her out, but I was like, dude, I know who you are. I watched you. You know what I mean? Like these, you know, Daisy Hayes, you got Sarah Delray, like, ah, I hope, am I forgetting? Like Mischief. Oh my God. Like I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I marked out, I asked everybody for pictures because these are all women I look up to. These are girls exactly who I want to be like. I don't think it's good to invest your worth, pretty much your anything into people that you don't know. Like everybody's always like, oh, that girl's my idol, but it's like some singer or some model or some actress. Like you don't know those people, you don't know their story, you don't know how they've gotten there, you don't want to, like you don't know if you want to be aligned with them, you don't know if you really do idolize them. But like these girls, like you're getting to sit with them, you're getting to talk with them, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a huge honor. And just oh, I couldn't be more thankful. I legitimately peed my pants when I first met. I'm not even going to lie. It's a huge honor. That company is amazing. And everybody should be buying their DVDs if they don't get to go watch the show. But I think everybody should make the trip out to no matter where it is, but hands down Chicago, and come down to Berwyn and watch us and partake in what is the amazingness of Shenanigan Weekend.
Now, have you had any talks? Is there any chance of you working the New Jersey show WrestleMania weekend?
Oh, well, you know, since I'm from New Jersey and I got that chanted at me last week in a match telling me to go back to the Jersey Shore, I kind of feel that hopefully I might be, maybe. but I don't know.
That'll be awesome. Well,
hands down. Yeah, me too.
Well, I'll be second. I'll be second row, so I'll be there. So,
yeah,
you're having
better hold shine.
Dave always Dave always listens to our show. To be quite frank with you, Dave always listens to our show, and I'm sure he's got a vested interest to listen tonight. And I just need to know one thing. I've got to spend some time with Dave during WrestleMania weekends. We've done lunch and things like this. Is he really a great guy and a great promoter, or is he just trying to meet chicks?
I don't know how I should answer this. Not to say that he's not a great guy. I think, honestly, hands down, Mr. Prazak is the most non-weirdest guy in the wrestling business regarding girls ever. So I will say, if he is trying to meet girls, he's doing one hell of a job, because we want to keep coming back and meeting him too. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to say. But everybody who runs Shimmer is amazing. But, Dave, what you do, you're just so amazing. I hope you hear this. If you don't, somebody tell him. But no, he, hands down, Dave's a great guy. I love Mr. Prazak.
Yeah, we do too.
Well, Casey, we've had you on for quite a long time, a lot longer than I was actually expecting. It's been a really great interview, so we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. So, Craig, do you have any final questions you want to ask?
My final question, Casey, what do you got coming up? What are your dates? Where are you working?
Good question. We'll leave it at that. We'll see you in the new year. I don't know. We'll say January 12th, ECCW. Check me out there. You may or may not see me somewhere else around the 18th, 19th weekend, but we'll hopefully see. Fingers crossed for that. You see a lot of us down in Edmonton, I believe it is, Alberta at least. But yeah, other than that, McAllister's open to book me. It's Casey_Spinelli. I'm pretty sure _@hotmail.com. If you feel like emailing me creepy messages, please don't. I will unfortunately check them because I'll think they're important, and we both know that they're not. And yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm going to put this out there right now. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's too blunt. It's too blunt. I'm cool. Other than that, yeah, buy my product, support Casey Spinelli, demand that she be in your town.
You want to promote your Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, you know what? And this is going to be probably pretty bad. My Twitter I used to have an app on my phone, and it's now updated, and now I don't know how to use it. So, unfortunately, I haven't gone on Twitter in a little bit. So, but if you are on Twitter, you can follow me at Casey, may or may not be underscore Spinelli. Yeah, I think that's the Twitter handle, isn't it? And then Facebook is just Casey Rufio Spinelli, or just Casey, big K, big C, because the fan who made it decided to spell my name wrong. Oh, yeah. Anybody wanting to send me Christmas stuff, my name is spelled capital K, small C. Thank you. And, yeah, that's it, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to just do a quick rundown. So Lala Lodge isn't bad. Sorry that I had to post that shit on Facebook, but everybody loves drama, even me too. And everybody did comment Merry Christmas after reading it. So if it helped everybody out and gave them a good laugh, I enjoyed it. I just wanted to get the story out there and clear that, you know, I'm not some bad guy, and I'm really not an asshole, like, in World of Hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, if you want me to entertain you, I'll freaking entertain you.
Okay. Casey, for my last question, I just wanted to ask you, because I really love the purple in your hair. It really makes your look. And I just wanted to ask, where did you get the idea to do that?
Oh, my hair has always been done, actually. True story, because I was a hairdresser when I was younger. I went from having, okay, so again, this is going to show you how old I am. Do you guys remember the Moffitts?
Oh, yeah. I've heard the name, but they're probably after my time.
Okay, well, they're like 20 years ago now, and they're a boy band. They came out after Hanson. Like, Hanson was cool when I was younger, and then the Moffitts came out, and I was really pissed because when I was younger, I used to bleach my bangs blonde, so whenever I was on a hockey team or baseball team, I would color with Kool-Aid my bangs, and since they were blonde, it would take the color really well. But then when the Moffitts came out, they decided that that was going to be their thing. And to show people that I wasn't a Moffitts fan, I quickly dyed my hair in the front back to black. And then I started doing the underneath of my back. And I actually had it blue for about 3 years. And then I went purple. And it wasn't actually till my first year of World of Hurt that I decided to have blonde and then pink and purple in the front, because my nice friend down there did it. I actually, funny story real quick, I went into the Shoppers Drug Mart. I asked her if they carry hair dye. She said no, pulled me in a little close, told me that she could get me some. I gave her my phone number, told her I would pay her on delivery, and I also gave her tickets to the World of Hurt live TV taping, and she came with her daughter. And, yeah, and actually we're still really good friends. And, yeah. So, yeah, she put the blonde in, and then we dyed it the purple and pink, and it stayed like that now for the last, like, 2 and something years. So, yeah, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. However, if you would ask me how I'd like my look, I'm more like Rainbow Bright. Like, Gem? You guys love no Gem. Gem.
Sure.
I would look like Gem, but Michelle Starr stole the freaking look, so.
Yeah, it's true.
Thanks, Starr. Yeah.
He looks fabulous.
But yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, I like to be colorful, and I'm hecka tanned, and it's all natural, and my nails are great, so I just had to make sure everything else stands out.
Cool. Well, Casey, it's been a really great time, and we're really happy that you joined us for tonight, and we really wish you the best, and I'll be pulling that you'll be wrestling in New Jersey, and I'll be there cheering for you.
Thank you very much. And just one more time, girls, you should be looking out for definitely Skater. Congratulations to Hamada for winning the Ring Bells Award. You got Rio Riley. Oh, really? O'Reilly out in the UK tearing it up. And everybody keep an eye out on Shaz McKenzie. That girl's got something big brewing. Oh, and of course, Davina Rose. Let's not leave out Davina Rose. You guys all better be tweeting and Facebooking that you want to see her on FCW ASAP. That girl... No, that girl should not be held down for long.
Cool. Well, you have a good night, Casey.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me ramble on. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That pretty Italian girl is going to take some drunk out by the hair tonight. That's awesome.
Right? No shit. I could just see her, like, DDTing some drunk asshole right through the floor. But yeah, see, when I was talking to her before I went on the air, she was like, basically, I had a good feeling because I kind of knew that we weren't going to have to work on this interview.
Oh yeah.
And and it worked out perfect. The best kind of interviews are the ones where you just get to kick back and listen.
Yeah, she did not disappoint, and I even did extra homework and emailed Dave and Lance to get some questions for her, and she's the best interview, man. Those interviews are the best, the ones where you just have to kind of feed them a little line, and then they run with it, so
and
able to cut a promo.
Yeah, and it's very easy to see how much she loves the business. I mean, it was real cool. I really enjoyed the interview, and I thought it went well. So
Can I say this real quick? I live down here in Washington. She lives up in Vancouver. Our wrestling scene in Washington just sucks. I mean, I love Caden. He's a great dude. I've gone to some of his shows. I've worked for Mike Jones a few times. I've worked for Dave DiBiase a few times. We've got the most rinky-dink, unprofessional style promotions down here, and it just drives me crazy when we've had great talent come through this area, and then nobody's done anything with it and knows how to do it. We had Brian Alvarez, we had Trey Lane, the guy that works in Mexico, who I've lost his name. But we've had so many great guys come through here, and they don't last long because everybody's the way they are.
Well, like Bolo, didn't Bolo retire? He looked like he had a promising future. He was young, in shape, he had a good look, and he's retired.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it bothers me because there's a lot of talent here, but the talent has to go elsewhere in order to make something of themselves.
And unfortunately, it's always been like that in that part of the area. I mean, back in the territory days, at least you had a kind of a territory, but it was always out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was always out there. Like Philly Jack came to Texas for a couple months. Rip Oliver came to Texas for a couple months. But, we rarely got to see you guys. I mean, you got Piper, Rick Martel would go out there. A few guys, but as far as the Portland guys coming around to the other territories, they were just like just out on an island, and stuff. But she kind of reminded me of a story I wanted to talk about when she was talking about, like, don't send her, crazy emails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the other day I get a friend request. I see on my phone that I have a friend request and a message. So I check the friend request, and it looks like it's some 14, 15-year-old kid from Pakistan, and his name is Abdullah something. And I look at the friends we have in common. The only friend we have in common is Trina Michael.
Mm.
So I check my messages, and there's a message from this Abdullah. I haven't friended him. He sent the message, and he's like,
sure.
Dude, can I please? I'd be very grateful if you could give me Trina Michael's phone number and address. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I text Trina. I'm like, this is a little weirdo that's asking for your number and stuff. And she was kind of creeped out by it. And so I just ignore the dude. And then I'm at work, and I see that I have another message, and I check, and it's this guy, please, dude, please, please, and respond to me. And then I respond, like, oh, dude, there's no one else giving you her number, don't bother asking. And then later on, there's another message. He's like, please, dude, please, dude. And I'm like, dude, fucking leave me alone already, dude. And then he ends up saying, like, he asked him some other message, please, dude, let me fuck her. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I just blocked his ass, and I told her, look, you might want to block this dude. This poor fucking shows up from Pakistan, maybe with a bomb and shit. But I was like, it was so weird, I was like, God, what a little fucking weirdo, man.
See, I would rather have that than the last time I was on the Brian and Vinny show. when I was the, I think I was either doing the moderator or the week before when I was on with Brian, I actually got some hate mail from some little jabron who couldn't have been more than 14 years old saying that my voice sucked for radio. And I was like, really? So, and he said, you just didn't act enthusiastic and you could just hear it in your voice. And so I just deleted him and blocked him. There's no reason to respond to morons. So, you know, you get what you get on Facebook and Twitter. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, part of the reason I wish Brian would interview me on a Figure Four Daily is just for all the hate mail he would get after me.
Well, this guy actually took the time to find me on Facebook to so he was all riled up.
Oh, he so. Found you. He wasn't already
yeah.
your friend. He basically found you to complain about you.
Yeah, he found me to send me a message to tell me how much I sucked.
That's funny.
The only one I've ever got, but it was pretty awesome. Like, I have arrived. I got hate mail.
No shit. You're when you get about 100 more, then you'll be as close to me.
Oh, I'll probably be getting some more here next week. Yours truly, I don't want to give away the date, but yours truly is going to be playing bartender this weekend for the Christmas show.
Yeah, well, make sure you get a plug-in for the show at some time, because it's like one of the highest downloaded shows, Craig. I'm counting on you. I'll be very disappointed.
Well, I know how to mix drinks from my younger days, so I will make sure that they can't even taste it and get snockered.
You know what's funny is, like, I thought the show last year was all right, but I thought it was the weakest one out of all of them. And it's one of the few that they didn't call me on. So, you know, coincidence. I think they need to call me, and I'll liven up the show, unlike last year. And
hey, is our Southern friend there?
I'm going to count on you to edge him on. You could be like, yeah, you could go tell Ed off right now.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. Is our Southern friend back on the line? Because yours truly has to bone out here pretty quick.
No, he's not back on. He's still off. So how much time do you have?
About 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard right before I left the conversation to call Casey that you were mentioning the week of Raw. And
yeah.
I kept forgetting to set my DVR every day, so I only
exactly.
saw Raw, but I was actually planning on watching everything. If that counts for anything?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because sure. I did the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I do watch it fast forward even a little bit since it went to 3 hours. But for the most part, I mean, I've always been happy with. I mean, I'm like, like if some people kind of like freak out on me. As long as wrestling's on, I'm happy.
Yeah. I hear you.
They could have the most god-awful show, and as long as they have one little thing that entertains me, it's kind of a success for me. So, you know, it's not, I don't know, I don't think it was that bad that they had 1 week out of, you know, the year where they actually had this much. It's not like they do it every week, but, you know.
I'll say this, and I talked briefly with Couture about it. If Flair wasn't on that episode of Raw, it would have been a dud. Flair was the man, and he was just tremendous. Everything he did, from joking about himself and his marriages to taking a small beating in the ring, he was absolutely tremendous. And there's a reason he's got two Hall of Fame rings. He's just amazing.
He was phenomenal. I put on Facebook, he's still the greatest of all time. The only thing is, these new high definition cameras are not very complimentary to his back of his head.
That's true. And
I
don't know what
it is. Like the first time I ever noticed that, I was like, wow, it's like you can be sculpted.
Like, well, that's where they did the facelift, isn't it? I mean, when they do a facelift, don't they cut like in the back of your head and then pull the face up and then stitch it? So, I mean, I'm no doctor, believe me.
I have no idea because I would never need one because I'm a damn fine, handsome man.
Sure. Well, not to mention your fat holds your face up.
Yeah.
Well, mine does too, so what are you going to do? Yeah. But yeah, Ric Flair was absolutely tremendous. I watched Tribute to the Troops last night, and Claudio Castagnoli is amazing. He is the man. I can't wait till they start building this company around this man. He's so good.
You know, it's funny.
Tremendous heel.
At UPS, there's this one guy. He actually doubles on our shift. His brother works on our shift, and he doubles on our shift. And he watches wrestling. He's one of the few guys at work that still watches wrestling. And when Cesaro was first coming on, like we were talking, and you know, it's like I guess someone had told him about the podcast and how I knew a couple of wrestlers or whatever. So he was kind of asking. I go, yeah, I know Antonio Cesaro, you know, and you know, I hung out with him a couple of times, and I showed him, check it out, I even got his phone number.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't like that guy. I don't like him. He sucks, this and that. But he hadn't actually seen him wrestle. And then, the last few weeks, that's all he talks about. He's like, oh, man, that dude Antonio's badass. Did you see what he did to Kofi? Or did you see what he did, you know, that
yeah.
fucking picked that dude up? And he just raves about Antonio. And just watching them wrestle a few matches, this dude did, like, a total 180.
Yeah. It's funny because when he's on, I'll say, hey, Cameron, my 6-year-old boy, hey, that's one of Daddy's friends. And he goes, I don't like him. And he just gives me this evil look. Like, how dare you be associated with such a villainous man? How can you be his friend, father? You know, Dad, you're such an upstanding citizen. Why that hated man? Why? Oh, it's funny.
That's funny.
So he looks the only thing he looks down on me of, and it's I know Claudio Castagnoli.
Okay. Before we go, though, I want to talk about that goddamn move at the end of Raw.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
How
the fuck
is that supposed to hurt somebody?
So we get Lance Storm, and you guys can debate it and work it out.
Lance Storm responded to me, but it's not like the first thing was, I was like, Lance, what the hell was that move? And Lance is like, it's kind of like an RKO to the midsection. And I'm like, well, that hurts. Why? And he's like, because you're being driven into the mat. And I'm like, you're not being driven into the mat. You're being driven into the dude. And then Lance's thing is like, if all the moves that's bothering you, this is bothering you. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, do you have a problem with the Cobra? And then I was like, then I had to think about it. And I was like, well, actually, no. I don't have a problem with the Cobra. What the hell is wrong with me? I don't. I love the Cobra. It's one of my favorite moves.
Oh,
I mark out every time he does it. But so I was
Hold on. So you can get behind and believe in the Cobra, but you cannot
Cobra,
get behind.
The Cobra is a thrust
to
the throat. It's a thrust to the throat. You're attacking the throat. The throat is a very vulnerable part of your body. You know what I mean? You hit the esophagus, you can't breathe. You know, if you were to stand next to Brian Alvarez and hit him in the throat, tell me you wouldn't hurt him.
I'll try it out this weekend.
Please, dude, do it live on the show. Give him a fucking Cobra as hard as you can. It'd be the greatest Christmas show ever. But move, it's like, what? How does that hurt? How does John Cena, who survived everything, get laid out from a guy dropping him on top of himself? It shouldn't it hurt that guy? Shouldn't Big E be the one in pain because he's hitting the mat with John Cena's weight on top of him?
Okay, remember when Nikita Koloff used to use like a version of the torture rack and then he would drop to his knees really hard?
Yeah.
Okay, why is that any different?
Because he's dropping to his knees with the guys on his shoulder, so you're getting the jerk action. This is just straight guys landing on top of him.
Can you please say jerk action one more time?
Jerk action?
Okay, get that drop, everybody, quick. Anyway, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, he's got him around the midsection. He drops down. He's got huge shoulders. They could probably hurt.
Yeah, but he's spread out on his shoulders, and the shoulders are like being driven into him. There's nothing being driven into John Cena in this move. If anything, John Cena is being protected and cushioned. I don't get it.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't understand why this thing, because I have seen some absurd shit in pro wrestling. Believe me, I watch Lucha Libre.
Yes.
And there's some absurd shit on Lucha Libre, but there's nothing that's ever just dumbfounded me as much as that move after I saw it.
It's funny what hits a nerve with people, and please let me say this. I was really surprised that hit a nerve with you. Because there's so much more things to complain about in wrestling than a goofy move. There really is.
I guess that's true.
Yes, and I was going to butt into your conversation with Mr. Storm and say the exact same thing that Brian said. It's fake. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, that's one hell of a fake move, let me tell you that. But on that, we'll go ahead and end the show. And do we have any plans for next week?
I'm looking to probably book another guest, the man behind the Flair shoot and also the Dynamite Kid documentary. And one of the owners of High Spots is probably going to be on, if not next week, in the very near future. Looking forward to talking to him about the Dynamite Kid documentary. So
we're going to have to give him a hard time and ask him why there wasn't five. How many discs were in that Ric Flair? There were five?
Right. I'm not 100%, to be honest.
There were like four or five. But anyway, three of them should have been dedicated to Ric Flair versus Terry Von Erich. So.
Oh, jeez.
There's far not enough Von Erich talking those DVDs. I'm going to have to give him a piece of my mind.
No, please.
But yeah, High Spot is a company that you really don't hear bad shit about. You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? You don't have, they're not asking people how big Batista's dick is. And they're not talking to people right before they go into rehab.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So much respect to High Spot. They kind of run like a quality as far as what I've seen. I haven't seen a whole lot of their stuff, but what I have seen, very respectable stuff. They do a good, top-notch job. You know what I mean? It's good product. Mm-hmm. So,
I hear you.
Yeah, everyone check out highspots.com. Everyone check out, I don't know the exact website, but check out Shimmer. Just Google Shimmer, and you can read all about our good friend Dave Prazak's organization with a lot of women who can wrestle, and there's quite a few hot ones in there. And a lot of Asian ones that I'm a big fan of, and hopefully Dave will introduce me to a bunch of them from New Jersey.
Don't do it. Yeah. It's a trap.
It's not a trap. It'll be good for business.
Mm.
My business, but you know.
Yeah, let's not talk about your business on the show.
Cool. And we'll be back next week because Craig's got to go. So we'll be back next week talking about Christmas and our plans for the New Year's. So everyone come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
So this is Christmas, and what have you